Chapter 1.
May I bash?
Evangeline looked up at me with longing in her deep and soulful gray eyes. Of course. I chuckled as I tucked my hands behind my head and leaned back. I'm all yours. Do what you want with my body.
Thank you.
The Duke's daughter giggled before she scooted down to a position between my legs, and then wrapped her luscious pink lips around the head of my cock, and then her cheeks sucked inward as she sank lower down my shaft. The warmth of her mouth and the movement of her tongue felt amazing against my sensitive member, and I hissed with pleasure as she came back up. Ugh, being the god of time was fucking awesome. Or the god of death. Or the god of winning. Whatever I was. I was living my best life in a magical fantasy world, and there was no limit to the possibilities of my future. I had 3 amazing women who loved me, 9 loyal men who followed my every command, and a town named in my honor, full of people who worshipped me. I'd been working a dead-end job in tech support when I'd laid my head down on my desk to grab a couple minutes of shut-eye, but when my phone's alarm chimed, I woke up in a foreign place with a psychotic Voldemort wannabe intent on killing me. Raijin Thornheart had apparently summoned me in order to steal my powers, but after time kept resetting back to the moment I'd been summoned, I finally killed him and all his goonies instead. Only once I'd cleared the catacombs and emerged victorious had I learned the secrets of my abilities. According to an inscription on the wall of the catacombs where I'd been summoned, I was the Great One of Legend, and the world was quite literally my oyster. Not only could I respawn when I died, but I could also make new save points whenever I wanted, and then I could return to that moment with just a thought. I'd traveled far from Bastionville to the Duke of Bullard's castle, and then on to the heart of the kingdom, the palace in Valenwood. I was on my way home again after all my adventures, and I loved every minute of this small vacation with my 3 women. We'd been traveling for a little over a week, and the nighttime shenanigans were in full force. Without the stress of the dragon looming over our heads, we were all free to play. My women and I used the relaxing tour through the countryside to our advantage, and we made love at every opportunity. Every so often I would stop, in the middle of the day, for a quickie in the woods, and we would return to our saddles, flushed and happy with tousled hair. The rest of the men would exchange knowing glances, but they never commented on my sudden escapades. Evangeline was a virgin no more, and she was a quick study in bed. The Duke's daughter was incredibly eager to please, and I found her submissive nature to be a huge turn-on. She was one of the most gorgeous women I'd ever seen, and yet she was humble and shy in the bedroom.
Like this?
Eva asked with a questioning glance up at my face as she circled the tip of my dick with her warm tongue.
Oh, just like that. I moaned as my hips bucked upward toward the sensation.
I would never in a million years have predicted I'd be pleasuring the Great One of Legend.
Eva murmured as she planted soft kisses along my lower abdomen and thighs.
Let alone taking his seed deep into my womb daily. It is an honor, Bash, really.
You honor me every single day with your presence, I assured her with a loving expression. I would have never thought in a million years I'd wake up from a nap in a fantasy world with unlimited lives either. But here we were. Suddenly, Evangeline bobbed down my shaft and took my full length into her throat. I moaned as I looked down into her watering gray eyes, and I entangled my fingers in her short, jagged blonde hair. She did it again, and she held my cock deep in her esophagus for an unbearable, pleasure-filled moment before she came back up with a gasp. A sliver of saliva dangled from her luscious lips to the tip of my dick, and my shaft throbbed in her grasp. Oh, fuck, Eva. I gasped once I caught my breath. Oh, God, that feels amazing.
Fuck is good, right?
She asked, with one eyebrow raised. Huh? Yeah, fuck means really good, I confirmed with a nod.
Good.
Eva grinned and wrapped her fist around my slippery member, and she slid her hand slowly up and down until my cock twitched in her fingers.
I like making you move.
I like everything you do to me, I rumbled as I propped myself up on my elbows to get a better look at her. Eva gave me a mischievous smile, and she pressed a hand against my chest to push me back into the pillows once more. And she licked her lips before she lowered her sweet mouth onto my cock again. I could hear Mahini's melodic laugh in the distance, and I was reminded of how thin the walls of the tent were, but I was sure no one cared that me and Eva had snuck off to be alone. The other two women bound to me had spent their fair share of time in my bed lately, and they'd eagerly opened their arms to Evangeline, so I knew there were no hard feelings. It was quite nice to be the god of time, and I enjoyed every minute of it. The only thing that could make it any better was being back in my own house in Bastionville. But we would arrive at what I now considered to be my hometown soon enough. Until then, I had plenty of things to entertain me, like the quickly increasing talents of the newest addition to my little family. Evangeline sucked my dick like her survival depended on it, and I saw the corners of her lips twitch upward with each moan that escaped my lips. Oh, the Duke's daughter was enjoying herself almost as much as I was, but I was about to reach my limit, so I took a deep, steadying breath to hold back the inevitable explosion of passion I could feel building in my loins. Then, before I could explode deep in her throat, I hauled her up and rolled her onto her back.
It's so much different from my bed back home.
Eva giggled and wriggled her ass into a more comfortable position on my sleeping pad.
I like it.
You promise you'll feel comfortable in a small town on the outskirts of Soriol? I gazed at her in the dim light of the campfire that illuminated the walls of the tent just enough to see the lines of her face.
I promise.
Evangeline smiled, and her gray eyes radiated love.
I just want to be with you.
I want you too, I growled, and then I leaned over to seize her mouth with mine. I gripped my throbbing cock in one hand while I explored her lips with my tongue, but I angled the tip toward her dripping entrance.
Yes.
Eva moaned, and she spread her legs as wide as the narrow width of the tent would allow. I slid inside her tight tunnel until my tip rubbed against the entrance of her cervix, and the Duke's daughter shivered in my arms as our bodies became one. It felt heavenly, and I pulled back out so I could slide in and enjoy the sensation of penetrating her all over again. Eva wrapped her arms around my neck and pulled my lips back to hers. Her mouth opened, and I entered her with my tongue while also sliding slowly inside her pussy again. You're so tight, I murmured in a low voice as I thrust in and out with painfully slow motions.
You feel so big inside of me,
Eva whispered, and her eyelashes fluttered with each thrust. My hands explored her body in slow, tantalizing strokes, until I scooped her ass cheek into one hand and held it firmly while I increased the pace of my thrusts. I moved steadily, faster and faster, and I ground and scraped my tip deep inside her body with each motion.
Fuck!
Eva gasped as an orgasm rolled through her body and caused all her muscles to tighten at once. Her pussy clamped down on my dick and pulsated as she shuddered through her climax, and I almost lost control right then and there. But I held on for dear life. Oh, you're so fucking sexy when you climax, I murmured as I trailed kisses along her jawline.
It feels so strange. For those moments, I can't control my body.
Do you like it? I asked with a smirk, since I already knew the answer.
Ah, yes.
She gasped, and I had to chuckle at how predictable she already was. Then, you're gonna love this, I said, and I lifted one of her legs up to my shoulder so I could reach her node of pleasure with my thumb. Then I moved my digit in a circular motion over her clit while I thrust my cock deep inside her tight pussy over and over again. Oh, God could certainly get used to a life like this. Eva gasped with each motion, and she flung her head back as her mouth hung open in a silent moan. It was the sexiest face I'd ever seen on her, and I stared in rapt fascination as my own climax built up even stronger inside me. Oh, no, fuck! I growled as stars exploded in my vision at the same time my cock erupted deep inside Evangeline. I unloaded a stream of seed so powerful it flooded Eva's tight entrance like a jug of milk pouring into a shot glass, and my cream pooled onto my sleeping pad as I thrust in and out of her. Then, just when I thought it was over, another round pumped out of me, and I moaned as shivers went up my spine.
Oh, gods!
Evangeline spasmed around me as her climax lengthened, and her hips thrashed as every muscle in her body shook. I gently massaged her swollen clit as she bucked against me, and her tunnel walls squeezed around my shaft as she shuddered through her release. I collapsed onto her chest, and she caressed my shoulders softly while we both caught our breaths and came back to reality. Then I smirked into the shadows of her throat before I reset to fuck her all over again.
Ding!
I let Evangeline suck my dick for a while, and then I pulled her on top of me to ride me cowgirl style. Her perky breasts bobbed with each bounce, and her skin was flushed pink as she climaxed. Oh, I got to see that sexy orgasm face again, and her short hair clung to her forehead as sweat dappled her entire body.
Ding!
I'd had enough of the blowjob for now, so I denied her request, which caused her to give me a pouty face. That earned her a swift spank, and she giggled as she stuck her ass in the air for more. Then I straddled her from behind, pulled her ass cheeks apart to reveal her dripping wet pussy, and fucked her hard until we both came at once.
Ding!
We both lay down on our sides like we were spooning, and I lifted her leg while I entered her from behind. I was able to get incredibly deep into her from this position, and the tip of my cock pressed against the puckered entrance to her womb when I finally released my torrent of sperm into her.
Ding!
I ate her out until she was grinding her crevice onto my face while she moaned in orgasmic bliss.
Ding!
I trailed kisses over every inch of her skin until goosebumps erupted across her flesh, and I went slow and sensual for hours while I pushed her through orgasm after orgasm.
Ding!
I lost count of how many times I made love to Evangeline. But by the time we'd both lost our minds to the sensations, I knew the Duke's daughter inside and out. I could make her come in record time, and since I could always reset back to the beginning, she was always the same naive and innocent girl I loved. When I finally had my fill, and she'd experienced over a dozen mind-melting climaxes, I collapsed in an exhausted heap beside her, and she curled her head up onto my chest.
Oh, you're amazing.
She whispered once she had caught her breath.
I am so lucky you came into my life. You freed me and you give me this incredible pleasure. I'm so blessed to be yours.
Oh, I can't wait for you to see Bastionville. I replied with a grin. I hope you like it.
I can't wait to see Bastionville either.
Eva said, and then she let out a tired sigh.
I just wish it didn't take so long to get there.
Oh, the hard part is over. I grinned as I thought about the road ahead. We took a longer, roundabout route to get to your father's castle, so it'll be faster to get back the short way.
Faster sounds better.
Eva chirped, and then she yawned. Oh, you need to get some sleep. I chuckled, but then I let out a sympathetic yawn of my own. Ah, now you're making me do it.
Let us both sleep, great one.
Eva murmured, and she snuggled even closer against my side.
Tomorrow will be a busy day.
I love you, Evangeline. I whispered, and I kissed her forehead.
I love you too, Sebastian.
She replied. We fell asleep in blissful silence as the fire crackled in the distance, And as I drifted off, I supposed everyone, except the watch shift, had already gone to their tents as well. We were in good company, and for the moment, everything was right in the world, so I could sleep peacefully. The sun glowed bright orange as it peeked over the eastern horizon the next morning, and I stretched my arms as much as the confines of the tent would allow before I pulled on my pants. Evangeline was still sleeping beside me, and I was careful not to disturb the blonde's slumber as I inched my way out of the tent. The light illuminated the soft lines of her face, and I stared for a long moment before I turned away. Then I ducked out and turned toward the campsite where the rest of my lady companions waited for me.
Good morning, husband.
Alyssa's face lit up with joy when she saw me from her seat by the campfire. Her fiery hair was pulled into a braid that hung over one pale, freckled shoulder, and her emerald green eyes glowed with happiness in the early morning light. My wife was the daughter of Elrin, the mayor of Bastionville, and she was one of my most precious treasures.
How was your slumber, great one?
Mahini purred from my wife's side. She tucked her shoulder-length obsidian hair behind one ear as her cheeks flushed a soft pink hue, and her piercing blue eyes flickered across my face. The former mercenary was blood-bonded to me, and I to her, and I was grateful for every day she was in my presence. Ah, I was one lucky man, that was for sure. Good morning, my loves. I grinned. I slept amazingly. How about you?
I missed you last night, but other than that, I slept fine. We kept each other warm.
Mahini explained with a sideways smile.
Lissy just likes to complain. I do not.
My wife pouted and crossed her arms in the most adorable fashion. All right, all right. I laughed as I held up my hands to halt the banter. What's for breakfast?
I have some grilled venison ready for you, great fun.
Jorgen said from across the fire, as he scratched his dark, scruffy beard.
Leftovers from our last kill.
Jorgen was the resident hunter and tracker of our fellowship, but the man had originally been a member of the castle guard in Bullard. He'd been assigned to the group that escorted me to Valenwood to see the king, and I'd won him over as a loyal follower in the process. His dark hair was clipped short, and his observant eyes had already proven useful a time or two, so he was a strong addition to my team.
Awesome, I grinned.
Do we have enough left to make it home?
We will reach Bastionville in a few days if we keep our current pace,
Lieutenant Ryandale observed in the clipped tone of a soldier. His brown hair fluttered in the slight breeze, and his dark eyes narrowed.
As long as nothing else interferes, that is.
The young lieutenant had been a capable second in command ever since I'd fought against Smeagwell, the crimson fire dragon who'd wreaked havoc on Soriel, while I'd been in Castle Bullard meeting the Duke. I was lucky to have him as part of my team, and I gave him a crisp nod to acknowledge his words. Jorgen handed me a wooden bowl filled with chunks of dried meat, nuts, and fruit.
It isn't much, but it will get your day started. You'll be eating like a king before too long, though.
Yeah, we all will,
I grinned. I ate my travel rations happily as the rest of the company woke up and joined us around the campfire. There was Corvus, the horsemaster, and the twins, Isaac and Dasher. Then Ryandale's three cousins, Bryn, Thanor, and Ian, arrived with the red-haired Kylor, and our group was complete. A round of good mornings sounded off as the men took seats on logs around the campfire, and Jorgen passed out rations to all of them before he returned to his own place.
Nothing eventful happened during the last watch,
Corvus informed us once he'd finished his food.
The horses are well fed and watered as well.
Good job, Corvus, I said, and I wiped my bowl clean with the edge of my shirt before I handed it over to Jorgen.
Good morning, everyone.
Eva sighed sleepily as she joined us by the campfire.
Good afternoon.
The desert goddess teased with mischief twinkling in her ice-blue eyes.
Oh, hush,
my wife said, and she flapped her hand at Mahini.
The poor girl was up late. What do you expect? I've never been much of an early riser,
the Duke's daughter admitted with a smile.
Tease me all you want. It won't change a thing. I only jest,
Mahini said as she returned Evangeline's smile.
If we're going to be a part of the group, then I might as well treat you like family, right? Right.
Eva's grin widened, and her cheeks bloomed a happy shade of red.
We are all family.
Since we are close to the turnoff to Castle Bullard, I said to the entire group, I'm going to send some men with a letter to the Duke explaining how you are in my service now.
That's a good idea, Great One. My father will surely appreciate the gesture.
Bryandale, I turned to the young man across the fire from me. Pick two men to go with you.
I'll take Isaac and Asha,
the lieutenant said with a nod. Good choice, I grinned. Oh, I'm glad that's settled.
I'm glad I don't have to go,
Corvus added.
Me too,
Jorgen snorted.
Do you guys not have families you'll miss?
I asked with sudden curiosity about why they were so hesitant to return to their hometown.
Women you were courting?
I came from a small town outside of Bullard that was completely killed by kobolds,
Corvus informed me in a solemn tone.
My entire family perished. I was the only survivor, me and the horses, anyway. I joined the guard in hopes of finding a family, but other than Ryandale, the leadership isn't what I'd hoped for.
He speaks the truth,
Jorgen grunted and spat off to the side.
I gave my life to the guard, but it was a thankless job. There's nothing for me to return to.
Well, my grandmother will miss me and my cousins,
Ryandale confessed with a sad smile.
But maybe I can convince her to move to Bastionville.
Well, we can always visit, Rye,
Thanor pointed out. You men are all my people now, I informed them. Your grandmother is also welcome in Bastionville, but you are free to visit her whenever you want, as long as you give me a heads up.
That means a lot to me, Great One,
Bryn said with a grateful smile.
Ryandale, send Gamma my love, please.
Yes, please make time to visit your grandmother while you're in town. She misses all of you, I'm sure. Ryandale and his cousins exchanged a smile, and it warmed my heart to see the affection they all had for their elder family member. After my instructions were given out, I took some time to write out a letter to the Duke of Bullard. Before I'd left Valenwood, King Frederick had informed me he would send out a decree to announce my new titles and to alert the other dukes that they would be giving up a portion of their territories to me. But I still wanted to personally touch base with Bullard, too, since I'd taken not only his men but his daughter as well. There wasn't anything he could do about it, but the man deserved to know his daughter was being well looked after. With the plans for the day settled, we quickly packed up our camp and divided our party. Ryandale and the twins didn't take much with them, but they wouldn't be traveling as far as we would, and they could get more supplies in Bullard. Then we hit the road again, and we rode for half a day before the trail split into two directions.
All right, this is where we part ways,
I informed my lieutenant. Travel safe, my friend.
It will be done, sir,
Ryandale replied with a salute.
Thank you, sir.
Ryandale and the twins took the left fork to head toward Castle Bullard, while the rest of the group followed me down the right path toward Bastionville. We were still a ways away from town, but we were going a different route than we had previously, so I didn't know what all to expect on the road ahead. I knew I was capable of handling anything Soriel could throw my way, though, so I rode forward with my chin raised and my shoulders straight. My warhorse, Goliath, trotted at a brisk pace, like he was also anxious to get back home, and I patted his neck affectionately. I'd commandeered the animal after I'd killed his previous owner, Lord Lucian of Loserville, and Goliath had been a faithful companion to me ever since. I felt like he appreciated being ridden by a real man and a true warrior, but that could just be me. Still, it was hard to deny the horse's happy expression as we trotted down the road. Mahini's mule, Warrior, kept pace with my warhorse like he was feeling competitive, and it helped us make good time. We'd traveled a good number of miles before the sun began to set again, but I called a halt before we lost all of the light so we could make camp. Jorgen and Corvus stepped into Ryandale's empty shoes and barked out commands to the rest of the men, but they didn't seem to mind. And a short while later, the tents were all set up and a fire was roaring. I basked in the heat of the flames while Bryn and Thanor heated up some food, and then we all ate in contentment as the sun sank below the horizon and cast the forest into shadows.
Another end to a wonderful day,
Eva sighed as she set down her empty bowl. Then the Duke's daughter flashed me a grin as she leaned back with a satisfied expression.
I wouldn't trade this life for anything, I know what you mean,
Mahini said with a smile twinkling in her blue eyes.
It's like the light suddenly shined into my heart. That's just what Bash does.
Elissa shrugged.
He warms your heart up until you feel like you're going to explode, but in a good way.
It pleases me to hear you say things like that, I told the happy women surrounding me.
If you weren't a god, Jorgen chuckled. I'd ask how you do it. But I've seen you in action enough to know better.
Us mortal men could never dream of a life like yours, Great One.
Mortal men could never comprehend what it means to be a god.
Look, it's not all sunshine and rainbows, but it has lots of bonuses.
Hey, if one of those bonuses is that we get to follow you, then I'm all for it.
You're my family now, Corvus, I reminded the horse master. Family means forever.
Thank you, Great One. It means a lot to me.
Now, if I didn't know any better, I would have sworn I saw tears spring into his brown eyes. But the equine lover dipped his head and looked away before I could tell for sure. I'd accomplished a lot since leaving Bastionville. I'd saved several small towns from various calamities, like curses and missing children, and I'd found lots of treasure and loyal followers along the way. Then I'd defeated the Great Terror Smeagol, and I'd claimed some of his remains and a dragon egg as my own. I kept the large oval-shaped purple egg stashed away in a sack, but I could almost sense it even from a distance. It seemed to glow from inside sometimes with a warm energy, and I found myself gazing at it like I was hypnotized any time I took it out. I didn't know what was going to happen with the dragon egg, but I was excited to find out. Well, for all I knew, it could be a dud, but I hoped I'd eventually have my own pet dragon. But first, I had to get back to Bastionville, so I returned my focus to the journey ahead.
Shall we adjourn for the night, Great One?
Mahini asked after a short while and pulled me from my thoughts.
We're going to need a bigger tent.
I noticed some impressed looks from the men on the other side of the campfire, and I had to smirk to myself, but a bigger tent might be exactly what we needed. We'll squeeze in like sardines, don't worry. I laughed and wrapped my arms around Mahini and Alyssa's shoulders. We all bade goodnight to the rest of the men, and then the four of us climbed inside the tent and got comfortable. Alyssa and Evangeline were on my left side, snuggled up against each other like they were sisters, and Mahini was on my right, with her leg thrown up over mine. I sighed, but the noise quickly transitioned into a yawn. I'm ready for the big bed back in Bastionville, I murmured sleepily to the three women beside me.
Just wait until we add a baby to our bed. I can't wait. It will be wonderful.
Mahini chuckled, and she snuggled her head against my chest.
It will be nice to have children running around and laughing. I've always wanted to be an aunt.
Yeah, I'm up for anything. Yeah, just as long as we get home first.
With that, the four of us drifted off to sleep, and we slept soundly the entire night. The next morning was even brighter than the last, and I realized I didn't even know what time of year it was in this world. It had been the middle of summer when I'd fallen asleep at my desk, but the weather in Soriol always seemed to be perfect. The sun was definitely getting hotter, though, so maybe we were about to enter the heat of summer. It took us several more days before we reached Carleone, the next town over from Bastionville. But it was dark by the time we made it, so we'd have to stay the night in the inn and finish our journey the next day. Nelly, the innkeeper, immediately recognized me and insisted the rooms were free.
You've done too much for this town to pay a single coin.
The woman gushed when I offered her several gold pieces. I've got more people with me this time. I don't want to hurt your business.
Pfft, nonsense.
The innkeeper waved a dismissive hand.
Travelers have been coming through town in droves on the way to Bastionville. I've had plenty of business thanks to you.
Well, it was my pleasure. I assured her with a grin, and I was happy to hear people had been flocking to my hometown.
How is Uncle Carl?
Elissa asked, with a hopeful twinkle in her emerald eyes.
He's laid off the drink entirely. They couldn't be better around here. That's wonderful news,
Mahini said, and the desert goddess gave the innkeeper a dazzling smile.
But it makes me anxious to get home.
Ugh, you can say that again.
Did you not hear me the first time?
Mahini shot me a confused look, but then she shook her head.
You say such odd things, Great One. Oh, the ways of gods are mysterious to us mortals,
Nelly said with a sage nod of her head. We spent the night in Carleone, but this next morning I woke everyone up just before sunrise so we could get an early start. Alyssa and Eva both grumbled but obliged me, and Mahini shot out of bed like she was ready for a fight. Jorgen, Corvus, and the other men were easy to rouse, and it wasn't long before we were mounted up and on the road again. It's a beautiful day to start a new life in a new town, the hunter observed as we rode side by side down the sunlit lane. Yeah, we'll reach Bastionville before dark, I informed him with a wide smile. I'm sure you'll love it just as much as I do. Well, I'll trust your judgment. You've yet to steer us wrong. And I'm not about to start. We rode the rest of the day at a quick pace, since everyone was anxious for our journey to be over. But the sun made an even faster progression across the sky. The light was just beginning to fade when the newly built walls of Bastionville came into view. A grin split my face, and I opened my mouth to tell my party we were almost home, but I never got the chance. Came a battle cry from the undergrowth to the side of the road, and before my eyes, a group of 20 or so men rushed from cover toward the town. The men wore ripped, worn leather armor and carried flashing silver short swords and axes, and they seemed like bandits, but the way they moved toward the town in a tight formation bothered me, and I recognized the strategy from when I'd faced off against Lucien's army. These men were well-trained and definitely more than just bandits, despite their rough appearances. Fuck. I cursed under my breath. Why would wannabe bandits be attacking my town? I didn't have time to think this over while I watched the group of armed men run toward the town walls, so I'd have to consider my observations later. We'd arrived at Bastionville just in time to save it from some sort of weird bandit attack, but I wasn't worried. I was Sir Sebastian, Archduke of Bastionville, Slayer of Dragons, Hero of Soriol, and the God of Time. If anyone could kill a handful of bandits and save the town, it was me. Which was exactly what I planned to do.